We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I could still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. When I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sunken back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month, with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels, with extras including advanced commercial-free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks, and more.
After a moment, there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed, and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your Real Ghost Story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
And indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. We would love to hear it, put you on the air. Of course, you can also write in on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email an audio file if you can record it on your smart device and send it over to us. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Tony Bruschi joining you for another episode. Jenny has the program off, but we got all new ghost stories for you today to binge away on and get creeped out by. That's what we like to do here on the program. So thank you for being with us today. Let's jump over to our first caller and get right into some of those ghost stories at 855-853-4802. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. This is Vicki from West Virginia again. I could probably keep you all in business because I've had paranormal happenings all my life, and I've got a story I've been meaning to call in and tell you all about. It happened about 6 years ago. I came home from work about 12:30, 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and shut the door and locked it, went to the bathroom, and I was home alone, so I didn't shut it all the way. It was just pushed, you know, together, not all the way, just a little thin crack in it, and was using the bathroom and heard somebody come in the front door. Heard the keys rattle, heard the door open, and I thought it was my husband or my son coming home from work early or for lunch or something. So anyway, I said, I'm in the bathroom, don't come in here. And I heard boots go through the house into the kitchen. I heard somebody in there rattling around in the kitchen, and I thought, well, he's getting lunch. My husband's getting lunch. He didn't take his lunch to work. So I said, "Hey, is that you, Charlie?" And no answer. So I said, "Well, you're not being funny," because he loved to scare me. So I said, "You're not being funny. You know, answer me. Is it Tim or Charlie?" No answer. So then I hear the boots come down the hall toward the bathroom. And I said, listen, don't open the door because I'm in here. So they stopped right outside the door. So I thought, okay, one of them standing there waiting to scare me when I open up the door, you know. So I jump up and yank the door open and I go, rah, you know, and nobody's there. So I'm like, holy crap, I know somebody's here. So I start going through the house and no one's there. I call my husband at work and he's at work. And I call my son and he's at work. And the front door's still shut and locked and everything. So, yeah, that one's kind of stuck with me because it really creeped me out bad. And then I'll tell you another one if you have time. I have a granddaughter. She'll be 14 next month. And about 3 or 4 years ago, we were next door. Also, she has a little sister at the time. She was about 2, 3 maybe. And they have cousins next door. And they were about 5 and 8. And we have a trampoline next door and a swing set. And they were all outside playing. It was spring and it was pretty hot. And they all got thirsty. And they said they were going to go in and get a drink. So the oldest one, which was probably 10 or 11 at the time, something like that, she said, I'll just stay out here with you. I'm not thirsty. And I said, okay. So we had our backs to the road. The road went, you know, from the house, and the trampoline was in front of us, and we were facing the trampoline. And we were just chatting, talking, and about stuff you talk to a 10-year-old kid about. And all of a sudden, we both turned at the same time. There wasn't a noise. There wasn't a car went by. Wasn't anything to get our attention. We just both turned and looked behind us. And when we did, this is so hard to explain, there was a black thing went across the yard flying. It had wings, feathers, and I kid you not, this thing, it had paws like a panther. I mean, it was totally black. Paws like a panther, and its head was like a blur. It was like smudged out or something, like a corkscrew fly from the road in front of the house and disappeared behind a bush. And I was speechless, and I didn't say anything. I just looked at my granddaughter, and she looked at me, and I wasn't going to say anything because if she didn't see anything, I didn't want to scare her, you know. And she said, oh, my gosh, Grandma, did you see that thing? And I said, I don't know. What did you see? And she said, I don't know what that was. It was an animal. It had paws like a lion, but it had feathers, and it was flying. And I said, oh, my God, that's what I've seen, too. And we both took off running around the corner of the house to look to see, you know, if there was anything explainable. And there was absolutely nothing there. And we still talk about it to this day. I asked her the other day, I said, do you remember that thing we saw? I was telling her dad about it. And she said, yeah, that thing with feathers and paws. Yeah, I remember. And anyway, I don't know if anybody's had an experience like that or not, but yeah, that freaked us out too. So anyway, you all have a good day. Keep up what you're doing. I love the show. I go to bed listening to y'all every night, and enjoy it thoroughly because it's good to know other people have these experiences too. It's not just me. So thanks a lot. Bye-bye.
Thank you for calling in and sharing that experience with us. It's just, you know, you think of these things, like the cat thing with the paws, the wings, and you just go, what the hell was it? I mean, and you said, you know, you ran around the corner to go and see if you can make any sense of it. I'm almost wondering what would be better, what you did see at the end when you went around the corner and you saw nothing, or if you went around the corner and then you saw it again, but this time in even more vivid detail. What would be the better of the two situations? I almost think what you experienced was ended up being the better, because you didn't have to re-experience those few moments of that experience. Creepy stuff. Thank you for sharing that with us. And by the way, before I get an email saying, I think I heard a voice while you were talking, you're right, you did. The call that I was about to play inadvertently started slightly early because of a setting here. So the voice behind me, not an EVP. Just want to let you know. So another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. Brandy calling from Austin area, Texas. Called a few times. I want to start by apologizing for any background noise because I'm driving home from work. So I have a story I want to tell. It just happened it happened on Valentine's Day, actually, this most recent one. And it wasn't necessarily a ghost story, per se, but it felt spiritual in nature. Let me explain. Okay, so I commute to work every day. I drive an hour each way. I work nights, so I leave at about 9 p.m. and I drive down a highway that I call the Highway of Death, because at any given time, there's dead animals anywhere. Dead deer, dead armadillo, dead skunk, you name it, it's there. And I live in a rural part of the country, so I have lots of wildlife. Well, one night I was driving to work and I hit an armadillo. I was devastated. I cried pretty much the whole way to work. And then not even a week later, one night I'm driving and this owl flies right into the guard on the front of my truck. Luckily, I don't speed down that highway because I am an animal freak and I just don't want to hit anything. So luckily I wasn't going too fast, but I definitely hit the owl. I ended up turning around to check on it to see if maybe, you know, I could save it. And I could see her in the road. She was definitely injured. She was moving around, obviously in shock. So I had to turn around again so that I could get my headlights on her. And I am a weirdo and I have leather gloves in my truck just for this type of occasion, thankfully, because it worked in my favor on this night. So I, you know, I was trying to hurry as I'm crying hysterically because I hit this beautiful, majestic owl. I'm trying to get these leather gloves on and whatnot. I'm worried that cars are going to come from either direction and just, you know, destroy her while I'm trying to save her. Long story short, I get out of the truck and I grab her and I run over to the side of the road and I'm holding her. And, you know, obviously she's kind of freaking out a little bit. And I was going to put her in the grass and drive to work, but I couldn't bring myself to just leave her on the side of the road to be eaten by something. So I checked her out in my headlights and she seemed fine other than something was up with her wing and her feet were clenched. So I thought the worst. I thought I broke her whole entire body or whatnot. So I think, okay, fine. I'm just going to find a 24-hour vet and hope to God that they'll take her and find a place that can take care of her for me. So I decided to bring her in the truck with me. Mind you, owls are big and their talons are super sharp and some of them can be super aggressive. Well, I put her in my truck and luckily I had a blanket that a girlfriend of mine had given me for my birthday, little down blanket throw thing. I put her on that and she kind of freaked out a little bit, tried to flutter away into the corner, but I grabbed her and I put her down. I put the blanket over her, kind of wrapped her in it a little bit and left her alone. So I'm driving to work and I call my boyfriend. I'm freaking out, asking him if he could, you know, check out Austin and 24-hour animal hospitals and call a couple for me, because I lose service on my first half of my drive to work. So I told him I'd call it as soon as I could get service. Well, the whole time I'm driving, this owl is just hanging out in the passenger side of my truck, and I won't look at her because I don't want to freak her out, because I'm inside, I'm terrified because I know what kind of damage they can do. She just kind of hung out, and she, you know, she wouldn't look at me, and then eventually in the corner of my eye I could see she was looking at me. So eventually I got to a point where I could call my boyfriend. So I called my boyfriend, and we're talking, and out of nowhere, the owl kind of like, she gets out of the blanket, and she flutters over to me and lands right on the center console part where my arm is rested, and she's on my arm. And she's just staring at me. And so for a good minute, I was terrified. I was afraid to even look at her, make eye contact, because I was afraid that she would just freak out and, like, destroy my face or something. I don't know. Luckily, I had a leather jacket on, so I could feel her talons coming through, but it wasn't anything bad. But needless to say, she sat there and just stared at me. And I ended up pulling over. And it was the weirdest thing. It was kind of like there was a little connection there, and I know that sounds silly, but she was super mellow, and I pet her and held her the whole way. She didn't have any bands on her feet or anything like that. Usually if owls are, you know, a pet or something, they have a little metal band on their leg. But I mean, who's to say she could have been a pet. But it was just the weirdest thing. I felt like a little connection there. So I don't know. I feel like there was something there. I know this isn't supernatural or paranormal or anything like that, but it feels somewhat spiritual to me. Maybe it's because it is an owl, and owls just seem like spiritual animals to me. And the weird thing about that, though, is every day on my way home from work, I would see an owl sitting on a fence post in the same spot. It might have been a different fence post, but it was the same, you know, fence every day for a good 3 weeks. Every morning I would see it. And that morning on my way home, she wasn't there. And I thought, oh, she's not there. And sure thing, that night, I hit her with my truck. I don't know. So, like I was saying, I don't think it's, you know, paranormal or anything like that, but it definitely felt spiritual, and I wanted to share it with somebody. So hopefully you enjoyed it. If you guys ever play it, hopefully you have some sort of feedback for me. Yeah, I mean, I know there's other animal lovers out there that might see exactly what I mean, but there's others out there that will think I'm a complete weirdo. So anyways, that's what happened. It was a really cool experience, and it has sat with me. Like, I don't know that I'll ever fully get over that experience, and I find myself actually missing this owl, and it's the weirdest thing. So I hope that someday she makes her way back into my life again, but I know that sounds kind of corny. Anyways, so yeah, you guys have a great show. I've said it a million times, I'll keep saying it. I'm finally an EPP, so I'm enjoying all those stories too. You guys take care, and take care of those adorable little babies of yours, and I will call in again. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for sharing the story with us. I think it falls into the category of, how do you explain that situation? You know, just as we have stories of the paranormal and things of that nature, I mean, just the feeling of that connection, and then the behavior of the animal itself that, you know, very likely was probably not someone's pet, was probably, you know, a wild animal. But how did it, and why did it suddenly seem to have more of an understanding or a connection with the human that they normally don't? You know, I wouldn't say it's necessarily ghostly, but it's one of those things where we don't, I think, fully understand the depths of what we're dealing with when it comes to not only ghostly things or paranormal things, but also, I think, sometimes the animal world as well. And, you know, these are animals. Yeah, they're smart animals, but I think sometimes we don't necessarily give them the credit as for being how intelligent these things are. And birds, I mean, and specifically owls. I mean, birds in general are insanely intelligent animals. You know, owls, you know, up there on the scale of it. And it makes you wonder what that owl was thinking. Thank you for sharing that. 855-853-4802, the number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, my name is Logan. I have a real story about my friend who, after we messed with a Ouija board multiple times over the course of 4 years, my friend and I, so in spring of 2015, we were all drinking, we were having a good time, And he all of a sudden tensed up and looked dead in the eyes, and he froze up, and he started clenching his fists and tensing, just retensing up, and he was looking at me, and he didn't say anything, and he started growling, basically. He looked dead in the eyes, and he ended up breaking a table, or, I mean, not breaking a table, he broke a glass on the ground. He wiped it off, and then for the next two or three hours, it was actually about 3 hours, he was basically lashing out at my friends and I, to a point where two of our friends who were more religious held him down, and they were all saying prayers to him to get him returned to normal. And so that went on for a while. My friend played a country Christian song that we knew, that our friend knew, and he walked in the corner of the closet. He just was like walking in and out of rooms, and went in, like, in the bathroom, out of the bathroom, in the bathroom, came out, and he went in the corner of the closet, and whenever my friend started playing the country Christian song that he knew, and he started hitting the wall and hitting his head against the wall, and he started getting madder and madder and madder, and he was just, he was so mad. And then he started ripping up clothes hangers, and he ripped them up, and he threw them at my friend who was playing the song, and he had, my friend who was doing this had scratches and cuts all over his arms and bruises from, or the next day he had bruises because our friends were holding him down on the bed, trying to get him to not lash out at us and push us and hit us probably. And so that happened for a while. It was a very traumatizing experience. And then about 6 months later, he did the same thing again. And it was directly to me. He was, I was with him and my other friend, and he just fell asleep out of nowhere. We had also been drunk, so I will say that alcohol was a factor in both of these. He fell on the ground out of nowhere, mid-conversation. He fell asleep, fell on the ground. His eyes started to, like, open a little bit, and I thought he may just be super tired, whatever. So he got up, and he did the same thing that he had done 6 months before. He walked around, opened and shut the bathroom door multiple times, and he went around the corner, and I kept saying his name, for him to return to normal, or just try to talk to him, and no response, and he looked dead in the eyes and was walking really straight, and he was growling again. And he was trying to get into my room. I luckily had a lock on my door. He was banging really, really loud on my door, and he carved with a key, "Burn in Hell, Logan." He carved it on my door, had to repaint my door, and he wrote letters with pen on paper towel and put them under my door, saying, "Logan and my friend, who I won't name, are going to hell," and then signed ZOZO. And there were like two or three notes he put under there said that. So my friend was crying, having an anxiety attack in the corner of my room, while I was basically chanting from a Bible. I was just turned to a random page and reading the Bible. And so that happened for about an hour and a half or 2 hours, and nobody else was there in the home. I had four other roommates, and all of whom were home and just didn't hear any of this happening, and nobody was in the house besides me, my friend, and my other friend who was experiencing this. And so, I had to repaint my door, and he tried to get me to come out of my room by saying he was bluffing and saying he didn't say he was bluffing, but he was going to run into traffic and kill himself, basically, for me to come out of my room. But I knew that probably wouldn't work, like he wouldn't actually get run over by a car or anything. So he came back in and said, "You're lucky there's no traffic." And the only way this was resolved was I called the cops, and the cops took him, and he returned to normal when the cops came, magically. And yeah, it was a very real traumatizing experience. I will say that this is 100% pretty much connected to the Ouija board that we had done over the course of 3 or 4 years together, and it was me and him. And I knew that these situations were directly to me, because the second time he was calling me out by name and insulting me personally, saying things about my mom when I was going through personal struggles and things, and he was using all of this against me and was basically trying to weaken me, and said that reading the Bible wouldn't do anything. He was very clear with what he was saying, and it was so scary. And I just wanted to let you guys know, you know, that shit, Ouija board's not a joke. But the thing is, we never came in direct contact with the Ouija, or with the name that he was saying he was. We had just both known about it over the years, but never ever talked about it. And I knew from a friend before that thing existed, and that we ever came in contact. There was another group of friends that I Ouija'd with, and they had mentioned very scary things happening to them and their family and their house, like bad luck and things, bad energy that was happening because of that entity or whatever it is. And so I just wanted to tell that to you guys, and say that it was a very, very bad experience. All of it's over now, and my friend has returned to normal. There was only two instances when he was very drunk that this had happened, and it seems like all of the negative energy and everything is gone now, and it's been about a year and a half since any of that had happened. But yeah, so there's my story, and if you want to know any more about it, you can give me a call back at 317.
And that's where we drop that. When you call in a story here to the show, no need to leave your phone number. It should be showing up on our ID, so we shouldn't need to have you say it. Just a note for everyone. Another housekeeping note when it comes to calling in your stories at Real Ghost Stories Online. Try and do it from a quiet location. Don't have stuff on in the background. If it's really noisy and you know that your speaker, your microphone on your Bluetooth or whatever isn't the greatest, assume we're probably not going to use the call then, because we need at least semi-clear audio for it to be usable. It just comes to mind because just before I put this show together for today, I went through a big backlog of calls in the last couple of weeks, calls that came in. And it was a shame because there was a handful of stories that I listened to a little bit of, and it was like, oh, this is a good story, but you can barely hear it because of the background noise or this or that. So if you got a good story, you're going to sit down and do it. Please be sure to do it in a location where it's quiet and you have a good connection, and you have a good way of speaking into your phone. Don't do it on speakerphone. Don't do it through the Bluetooth headset unless you know the Bluetooth sounds good. There's a lot of ways that a really good story can end up going away the dinosaur really quick, where no matter how good it is, if you can't understand it very well, we can't use it. So just so you're aware. So I get those calls every now and then, like, I called in this really great story and I never heard it. And yeah, it's probably a reason. It's not the story. It's the usability. 855-853-4802. Our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hey guys, I'm calling in with a story. It's a little story that happened to me in my grandmother's house years ago. Now, my grandmother's house is pretty old, and there's a woman that died in there before she moved in, and she died in the house, and she used to say that if there was kids in the house, she would turn over in her grave. And ever since my grandmother's lived in the house, people have experienced things. Now, this is one time whenever myself and four of my cousins were sitting in my grandmother's front room watching TV. Now, all the lights in the house were off except for the bathroom light, which was directly behind us, and the porch light. It's the only lights that were on. We were sitting in there watching, I can't remember what it was called. It was like People Under the Stairs or something like that. But it was a scary movie. We were sitting there watching it, and my grandmother's front door, it's a heavy wooden door, and she's got a heavy screen door on the other side of it, and it's like there's like a 3-inch gap between the two doors. Now, her screen door wouldn't latch, so she had my uncle build a latch on there, that little hook latch, that way it would stay closed. Now, that was latched, and the front door was shut and locked, and the light was on the front porch. Her front door had a big window on it, so you could see outside. Now, we were sitting there watching the movie, of course, getting freaked out, and all of a sudden, there was a quick, like, knock, 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 knock on the door, and three of the five of us looked up real quick, and we seen what it looked like an extremely long arm with probably a child-sized fist knock on the window really quick, and it just pulled down really quick. Now, the other two didn't see it, but they heard it, so we all five heard it, just three of us seen it. Now, of course, we all got freaked out, because the only way you can knock on that window is if you somehow get the screen door open without breaking the latch my uncle put on there, knock on the door really quick, pull your arm down, put the door back with the screen door back with no damage at all, which is impossible because we've tried that a few times, and it's hard to pull that screen door open because my uncle, he built that latch pretty good. And the only other thing that could have happened is if somebody knocked on it from the dining room, which is impossible because there's light coming in from the front porch, and you could see partially in the dining room, so the dining room was still partially lit. There was nobody in there. We all looked at each other, myself and the other boy that was in the group of us five, got up, walked toward the kitchen, because there was a big kitchen window. We looked out of it, didn't see anything. He walked to the door and looked out of the glass, didn't see anything. He seen that the latch was still on the door. And we didn't hear the gate open or close because she had a metal gate, and wherever you opened it, you could hear the latch pull up or put it back down, and it would creak really loud. Even if you were in the front room, you could hear it. We didn't hear that. And we looked at each other, and we were thinking about opening the door, you know, maybe go out there and see if somehow magically somebody was able to get between that door, which is like 3-inch gap, which is impossible, and knock on that window of the door. We were at the door thinking about it, and my other cousin, she hollered, "Don't open the door. Don't you know if somebody knocks on the door and there's nobody there, that's death knocking on your door wanting in." We looked at each other. We had second thoughts. We went back into the front room, sat down, turned off the movie, and put on, I believe it was Rugrats on Nickelodeon, because it's one thing I do. If I get freaked out, I got to play cartoons or play a comedy. And the other odd thing is my grandmother, she's got two pugs. They bark at everything. They were sitting with us in the front room where we were watching the movie. They heard it too. They barked. Then they laid their head down and started whining, and they would not move out of their spot, which is odd because they would run toward whatever it was and start barking. But they were freaked out. But that's my story about some kind of, I call it an alien arm, because it was an extremely long arm with a small fist knocked on that glass. Sorry this was such a long story, but I've got plenty more to tell. I love your guys' podcast. I got listening to you guys from listening to Two Girls, One Ghost. And I am an EPP. And I listen to just about every single one of your guys' episodes. And just, yeah, keep up the great work. Love listening to you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you for sharing that story with us. Very, very creepy experience. And can you imagine going through that? Can you imagine having, you know, friends are hanging out, having a get-together, and just another Saturday night, one friend gets possessed. I don't think that's how it normally goes. I don't think that's typically the thing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. My name's Tabitha. I'm calling from Michigan. I've been listening religiously to your show, and I have some time right now, so I figured I'd just call in the very small two experiences that I've really ever had. I had called in before talking about some weird, like, sleep habits I'd had, sleepwalking, talking to actual people or dead people in my sleep. At least that's the advice that you guys thought that it might have been. But anyways, there's just a couple things from my childhood that I had always brushed off, and I just wanted to share them real quickly. There was one time when I was a really scared child, so I'd always be sleeping on the floor in my brother's room, and I remember I woke up in the middle of the night, and usually I'd be really scared if I woke up by myself and in the dark, but I remember I was just looking around the room, and right in front of the TV, the best way I can explain it is, you know, when you're barbecuing and right over the grill, you can kind of see where the heat is wavering up, and it looks kind of like blurry and a reflection. Well, I saw that walk past throughout the room, and thinking back on this, I should have been scared shitless. And, you know, hearing other people's stories where they say they just went back to sleep, sometimes I literally think if any of these things happened to me, I would just off myself because that'd be so terrifying. But at the time, just like everyone else says, you're not afraid. And I wasn't. I went back to sleep as scared of a child as I was. So that was really it. I never even thought about it after that. And the second time, it's a little bit more blurry because I had to have been 5 or 6. I was riding my bike at the elementary school behind our house, and right in behind the elementary school where, like, the playground is, there's a hill that goes upward to a neighborhood back there, but in between the neighborhood and the school, there's a bunch of woods on that hill. And at this time, it was really kind of rustic in this area. Not all the houses had been built yet. So I'm riding around the school looking up at that hill, and there is a lady picking apples with a basket in just white clothing. Didn't look to be super weird or anything, but she was waving at me, and I remember stopping on my bike, squinting really hard, seeing if she really was waving at me, and she was. So I started to go over there because for some reason I had this feeling like I knew her. And as I was walking over, she dropped a basket of apples and started running. And after that, I got the creepiest feeling. Like, I tried to describe it to my mom ever since, and she said, you know, there's no apple trees over there. Like, we even went back later and checked to make sure, and I couldn't find the basket, no apples, and those were not apple trees. So I remember this clear as day, and it has not changed in my memory since. I can still picture the woman. So yeah, those are two of the literally only experiences I've ever had. I just wanted to also add, I am absolutely terrified of the paranormal, but I'm one of those people that I am very spiritual and empathic, and really most of the things that you would think would allow you to see or feel spirits, but unfortunately, I never have, and I guess it's really starting to make me sad. It seems like there's something I'm missing out on. But we talk about it all the time on the show, I know. But if you guys have any idea why a sensitive and, I guess, empathic person would just never have any experiences at all, Well, I kind of rambled on. Thank you guys so much for everything.
I think it can be empathic. It's different levels of it, in my opinion. It's like different levels of hearing and seeing and any sort of sensitivity. You can be empathic and certainly feel, you know, emotions of those around you and really feel that. But I think it's a whole other level when you're able to pick up on things that may or may not be physically there from the other side. I think that's another level of the empathic abilities that some have and some don't have. And it's there's anything wrong with you. It's just, you know, some people can see further than others. Some people see closer better than others. People hear tones others do not hear. It's kind of our how our abilities work. And I think that's really all there is to it, if you will, when it comes to that sort of stuff. Thank you for calling in. Hi.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. I've written in a couple times about some creepy stuff that's happened. I'm not going to say my name or use any names in this particular one because they're just the people are close to me and I don't, you know, anyway. So I've had a lot of sleep paralysis happen to me, and so here's some backstory. So this person that I know, their sister was going through a lot of stuff, everything that you can think of that's negative. She has been, you know, going through this, just not a lot of good vibes, just really bad vibes. So it was around Christmas, and I was getting ready to move out, and I have my parents, and I have everything packed, and my tree was still up. And I had left my door open for my dog to come in and out. And it's normal for her to jump on the bed and then, you know, leave and then come back throughout the night. But I had fallen asleep around 11 or midnight. And I remember having my eyes open. It was like I was awake. And here comes this person. And I was, like, shocked. I was, like, thinking, you know, how did they get in here? And I remember I kept calling their name. I was like, you know, are you in here? And this is the most terrifying thing ever. She just started, like, crawling on my bed. And I knew it was her because I could tell her fingernails, because she's always has, you know, her fingernails painted. And I could tell by her hair. Her hair was in front of her face. And it was terrifying. I couldn't move. I couldn't breathe. It was like my whole room was just dark. It's so hard to explain, but I know that, you know, other people that have had sleep paralysis can totally understand. But, and it felt like it lasted forever. She wasn't doing anything to me. She was just there, and it was like a horrible, horrible gut feeling. And then I jolted awake, and I was pouring sweat. I was terrified to go back to bed, so I plugged my Christmas tree back in, and I just sat there. It was the most terrifying thing I've ever experienced. I mean, I even, like, went to go to take a shower. It was just terrifying. And then my dog ended up coming back in my room, and so that was nice. But, I don't know what causes it. Don't know what causes sleep paralysis. I've looked it up, but it still just doesn't make sense to me that some people can experience it and some people can't. Since, you know, I don't know if I was thinking about her or if something just happened and, you know, but I kind of steer clear away from, you know, listening or watching anything scary before I go to bed. But, I just wanted to call in and tell you guys that. So, all right. Thanks. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that with us. I don't blame you for taking that step of going, yep, close to bed, not going to happen. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Thank you guys for calling in today. Thank you guys for listening to the program. Greatly appreciate it. Could not do this thing without you. If you like the program, you want bonus episodes every single week. Extra episodes, yes. Brand new one every week. EPP bonus episodes, our best stories on it. Sign up to be an EPP, extra podcast person. Go to ghostpodcast.com. You can even sign up through Patreon now. The link is right there as well. It all starts at ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.